Imagine this. You're running in the New York City Marathon in the middle of the pack. The competition is all around you, but you're keeping pace. It's a hot day. You need water, and there's a hydration station up ahead. But there's not a plastic bottle in sight. As you pass the table, you grab a small, clear plastic sphere about the size of a walnut. It's full of refreshing H2O. You pop it in your mouth and swallow the whole thing, packaging and all. Welcome to The Future According to Now, a podcast from Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic and Fidelity Investments. Technology holds so much potential. Some of it sounds really far-fetched, but some of it matters right now. This podcast explores groundbreaking innovations that hold real potential to change our lives in the foreseeable future. Today's episode, is this the end of plastics? It's hard to envision a world without plastic. We use it to make everything from shopping bags to car parts to circuit boards. And then, of course, there are those plastic water bottles which seem to be everywhere. But that edible water pod I was talking about, it also exists today. It's called the UHO, and it's on the cutting edge of a new plastics economy.
Just in the last 40 years, there was a 620% increase in plastic production. When you think about the cumulative numbers is really when you start to realize how much plastic we have, and that since 1950, we've produced 8.3 billion metric tons of this material.
That's Jenna Jambeck. She teaches environmental engineering at the University of Georgia. As a researcher, she tracks the fate of some of that plastic, the hundreds of thousands of tons that end up in the oceans. It's hard to believe, but there's so much of this stuff that scientists have made a dire prediction. At this rate, by 2050, there could be more plastic in the oceans than fish. You might picture big objects floating on the surface of the water, but over time, the sunlight and waves have caused the plastics to fragment. Jenna Jambeck has seen it for herself.
So the ocean can actually look pristine as you look out from the boat and you see sort of this beautiful blue water, and then you put this net through it and you pick up all these itty-bitty pieces of plastic, oftentimes about the size of a pencil eraser.
But there's another serious environmental problem. Traditional plastics are made from the byproducts of petroleum. Producing traditional plastics creates greenhouse gases. So today, a consensus is building. We need to find alternatives to plastics made from fossil fuels, and we need to find substitutes that don't create waste problems that last forever. When we do find these alternatives, this could affect production costs and company profits, with broader implications for markets and investors. It also creates new challenges and opportunities for manufacturers.
Now we're starting this conversation where a material and product designer is talking to someone who works in waste to try to figure out how can we design our systems and our products so that we don't have waste. It would be great if we took a cue from nature and were able to make everything that we create. If there's something left over, it becomes an input into another system.
That work is already beginning. Lars Berger is the head of bioplastics for a Finnish oil refining company called Neste. A few years back, the company made a big change and started producing plastics not from fossil fuels, but from renewable resources.
For example, if you think of used cooking oil, the oil which is, for example, used in fast food restaurants to fry the French fries and so on, that basically can be collected, can be cleaned, pre-treated, and then finally converted back into something which you can use for chemicals.
By combining that cooking oil with other plant material, Neste created a bioplastic that attracted the attention of a big player in the global economy. In 2016, IKEA announced a partnership with the company. The world's largest furniture retailer is working with Neste to produce bioplastics, replacing all the standard plastics they're using now.
Our hope, of course, in starting this partnership is that we set an example. And this example should show that, principally, you don't have to wait for a technology to further develop. But there is technology right now, right here, available, which can make you do the first step into a fossil-free future. Our hope is to work with IKEA, and IKEA's hope is as well to have more partners joining here, because the more partners are joining, the more impact it will have.
Neste, IKEA, and other companies around the world are already diving into the new plastics economy. Yet today, standard petrochemical-based plastics still make up 85% of the current global market, which amounts to about 250 million metric tons a year.
And at this point, the bioplastics is more of a niche product. You have this massive global plastics industry, and for the vast majority of that consumption, all that matters to the consumers of that product is price and performance.
Rick Malnight is a research analyst at Fidelity Investments. He watches trends in the chemicals, refining, steel, and mining industries. This expertise helps investors take advantage of emerging trends in these markets today and in the future.
Where bioplastics is finding the greatest adoption is in more developed markets, Western markets, and products that are closest to the consumer who is making their buying decisions based on a different value equation that values that the origins of the product, the ultimate disposal of the product, and is choosing a biomaterial.
Rick is keeping an eye on three promising trends in biomaterial production.
One would be a bio-derived natural material. For example, I'm old enough to refer to plastic wrap as cellophane because it used to be made from cellulose, a natural wood-derived material. They're working on developing new plastics, which are really a back-to-the-future story of going back to plastics they used to make from cellulose, and developing those for new applications.
Another big trend Rick's watching lines up with the work Neste is doing, using environmentally friendly, bio-based sources to make conventional petrochemical plastics.
And a third area is using GMO or genetically modified organisms to produce either particular chemicals, maybe more sophisticated chemicals than ethylene for more sophisticated plastics, or natural drive materials that are higher value added or more cost effective to produce through that means.
Eco-friendly plastics will continue to be part of the global market. And that means today there are opportunities to invest in companies that will not only do good, but also do well.
Sustainability is becoming one of the new buzzwords in the investment community. But for the chemical industry in general, even for petrochemical-based production, the best performing companies are also the ones that are the best from an environmental standpoint. I take it as a sign of a company's operational efficiency, operational expertise, that the companies that are the best performers from a, we call it safety, health, and environmental perspective, are also the most efficient operators and generally tend to be the most profitable companies that I like to invest in.
John Van Drunen is one entrepreneur who believes that sustainability and profitability can go hand in hand, or shoe and foot, as the case may be. John works for a company called Bloom Foam, which was founded by his dad, Mike. Today, they make eco-friendly material used in the production of the high-performance Vivo Barefoot X Bloom running shoe. The material they produce is a substitute for something called EVA.
EVA stands for ethylene vinyl acetate. It's basically a plastic, a polymer, and it's used heavily in footwear. The problem with EVA, it's not very good for the environment. It does not break down at all. So whenever somebody's done with their pair of shoes, you know, it just gets thrown away and it's end up in a landfill. And from there, it'll last forever.
The name Bloom hints at the surprising source of the company's unique foam, algae.
So algae is actually the fastest growing plant on Earth. It will double in size every 24 hours. Algae, it's very useful. I mean, we need algae, but too much of it causes problems. It depletes the oxygen levels in the water, and that kills off fish and plants, and it can also harm birds and even human health.
Originally, their idea was to use algae cells to make oil, but after experimenting, it turns out the process was too expensive to work.
We had a lot of this algae biomass left over, and we thought, all right, what do we do with this now? So we just ran the algae through different types of tests and found that the algae was made up of different types of proteins and ash and other ingredients that you need to make a plastic. And from there, the light bulb went off in our heads and said, hey, this could be something.
Most of the algae used in bloom foam comes from China, but they have another significant source. And that explains why the company is based where it is.
We harvest locally in aquaculture fish farms. The farmers there have had a big problem with algae killing off their catfish. And so that's the reason why we're actually located in Mississippi, is because there's about 90,000 acres of catfish farms in the area.
The bloom foam used in Vivo barefoot shoes is not only cost competitive with EVA, it performs equally well. And that's important for a high-performance running shoe.
Before, a brand would have to choose between having a sustainable product or a product that performs. But now we can offer both at competitive pricing. So here's what we challenge brands with. So if a brand is going to use EVA no matter what. Now, if I can give you the same performance with the same cost with the added benefit of a great environmental story, why wouldn't you make the switch? I think we're starting to see the paradigm shift. People are being more educated about the environment and the materials brands choose.
The development of plastics was a revolution in manufacturing that raised standards of living around the world. It turned a man-made material into an essential part of our lives. That may never change. But with the unforeseen environmental damage being caused by the use of plastic, we may be ready for another revolution driven by consumer demand. The development of new materials that can give us what we need without harming the planet we all share. The Future According to Now is a podcast from Fidelity Investments. To learn more or to get in touch, visit us at theatlantic.com/fidelitypodcast. Listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Next time, I've seen that face before. A look at the newest developments in face scanning technology. Thank you for listening. Promotional content produced by Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic for Fidelity Investments. Fidelity and Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic, are independent entities. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of Fidelity or its affiliates. Information presented is for information purposes only and is not investment advice or an offer of any particular security. This information must not be relied upon in making any investment decision. Fidelity cannot be held responsible for any type of loss incurred by applying any of the information presented. These views must not be relied upon as an indication of trading intent of any Fidelity fund or Fidelity advisor. Fidelity and the Fidelity Investments and Pyramid Design logo are registered service marks of FMR LLC, copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.